left off discussing the Sugya and Beitza in Rabbi Yudalid, where the Mishnah distinguishes between Melech as opposed to Taflin, Machlokas between Beisil and Beishamai, whether the question is whether a Shinui is necessary or what form of Shinui is required. The Gemara quotes that today is Rabbi and Rabbi Chista. Exactly why should one assume there's a difference between Melech and Taflin? One possibility is Kol HaKaderos Trichos Melech, simply a question of anticipation. Did you assume that this would be necessary in Yantif or not? The other possibility is that when it comes to Melech, Eina Mafiga Tama. Melech, easily one could grind Mibon Yom. Its potency will not be affected by doing so, and therefore that should be done Miba Erev. It can only be done on Yantif by employing a Shinui. Good, so both days, Rabbi Rav Chista, both are in agreement that the question is whether it's Efshar or E-Efshar, but is that determined based on Mefiga Tama, or is that determined based on whether you indeed assume that you would be using that particular min on the day of Yantif itself? So we started with Tosos's issue is how in fact we should possibly, because there are clear enough gaminas between the cases of Rav Huna as opposed to Rav Chista. Tosos quotes the Psak Lach of the Ri, that one must assume the Chumrah, naming that a Shinui is always necessary, unless it is Mefiga Tama, as well it is something which is Yogadole, that you didn't anticipate you would use. If in fact it lacks either one of those, so then that's insufficient. We have to pask in the Chumrah. Good, so Tosus raises why in fact that should be true. After all, Tosus assumes we're not dealing with the Din Daraisa. As we mentioned, the Shita of the Baliyat Tosus is that we should assume that this form of Tochein certainly is considered to be Melechus Elcho Nefesh. And if something is indeed considered to be Elcho Nefesh, whether Efshar or E-Efshar Mi Be'erev is not truly Daraisa. All of that at most is only a Din Drabanan, in which case this is a Safek Drabanan, why not assume Safek Drabanan Lekula? If one should assume, for example, as Rashi Shita, that even when it comes to Melech HaSofa Nefesh, that if it's Efshar Miba Od Yom, it's Osir An Yantif, that is Nisa Daraisa, one could perhaps suggest that that Chiddush in the Gemara, whether this is Efshar or Efshar Miba Od Yom, that's not a Safek on the level of Drabanan. That perhaps encroaches on the Din Daraisa, because if you should assume that it's Eina Mefiga Tama, and therefore it's necessary, for example, to engage in Tchina Mibon Yom, one could argue that's an Isha Daraisa, not just simply a Din Darabanan. But as he pointed out, Tosus assumes on Daf Gimel, that distinction is only relevant regarding Machshiri Elcho Nefesh. When it comes to Elcho Nefesh itself, Midaraisa, certainly that is Mutter, even if it's Efshar Mibon Yom, at most therefore Tosus says this is a Safek on a Din Darabanan, and therefore why not assume Sveika Darabanan Lekula? So Tosus points out the simple answer. What is Lekula and what is Lechumra? It's simply a different set of factors. And therefore, what are you going to argue? You're going to pick arbitrarily Shita A over Shita B, Rav Huna over Rav Chista? That you cannot be Machriya, the Gemara doesn't come to a conclusion. And to Pask and Lekula in all instances, Tosus says, certainly that you cannot do. That's not reflecting any given sheet at all. And therefore, since every day has its Sar Chumra and Sar Kula, therefore you must assume under these circumstances that a Sveika Drabban is the Chumra as well. So we began to compare that case in Psachim and Avkulches regarding Haseba, that the Gemara quotes the Chiddush of Nachman, the two of the four Kosas require Haseba. The Gemara is uncertain what the Chiddush of Nachman is, the first Kosas, last two Kosas. Basub Shat, therefore, in the Gemara, Midin Safek, Ividini by Haseba. And the Kasha that the Ran raises on Dav Chav Gimel and Dav Yarif, why should that be so? Haseba and Dav Kosas certainly isn't a Din Darabanan. Why not there's some Safek as Lakuva? So the first Daya in the Ran against, right, our Chiddush of Tosas, means Enochinami. It's under the Rabchid Milsa. Mikar Hadin certainly will pass in Safek as the Kula. And certainly, if a person drank any one of the Dabkosas without Heseba, there is no need to drink an additional Kos. Certainly, it is only a Dinna Chadchila. Even if one should assume that in other cases like Matzah, that is not true. But certainly, when it comes to Dabkosas, it's only a Safek. And Safek is considered to be Lakula. The Rav Chidmil Svidu Haseba and all Dalet Kosas. And then the Ran mentions the other possibility is not true. What exactly does Lakula here mean? That Haseba is never required. If that's true, Mecca Mitzvah Haseba Lagamre, you're going to uproot the Mitzvah entirely. And that is absolutely incorrect. So therefore, in such an instance, one cannot apply Safek Lakula. And therefore, Idi by Haseba. That last teretz of the Ran as well, one could understand in two ways. So lemaisa, according to that last teretz of the Ran, if a person doesn't do haseba, do you have to drink again? Do you not have to drink again? Is haseba likuva or is it not? One could argue as follows. since you cannot apply the principle of Sveika Drabanan Lakula, so therefore it's necessary to do Haseba on both, and one could entertain that possibility then. If that's true, drinking without Haseba requires an additional Shtiya Sakos. When the Beis Halevi discusses that Chiddush that we started to mention yesterday, Chelek Gimel Siman Aleph, regarding Shemitah, the Beis Halevi points out that maybe one could interpret the Ran as follows. The Ran says the following. How are we going to assume when it comes to Haseba? We, the Chacham, are going to declare that you never do Haseba because Safek is Lekula. If that's true, Mekra Mitzvah Haseba Lagamre. And that cannot be the case. However, the Beis Halevi suggests the following. That concern of the Ran, Mekra Mitzvah Haseba Lagamre, is only when it comes to being Koveya, the Halacha, not for a particular individual. When you're being Koveya, the Halacha, the Rabbim. In other words, the Chacham will declare that since there's a suffix involved, Vila Dal Kosos requires Haseba, so therefore we will paskin that Haseba is never required. If Haseba is never required for Dal Kosos, that is considered to be an Akira Lagamre. But let's assume, for example, we're not talking about that, to be the Koveya the Din Ladoros. We're talking about the following. We're not upbringing the Mitzvah Haseba. We're talking about the following. A person who failed to do Haseba for a particular Kos. Maybe then, even according to the second day of the Ran, one could assume that Safek is considered to be Lakula. See, if you interpret the Ran as saying the following, that since it's B'makom Tarte Disaster, not the first and not the last two, therefore you can never apply the principle of Safek Lakula, that could mean even for Yachid we'll assume, L'chomer, that you're obligated to drink again. But if you interpret the Ran as arguing as follows, you're going to comment that the Maskanas HaGemara will be that Haseba is not required at all for Dalet Kosos. Then, Mekra Mitzvah Haseba Lagamre. That concern does not apply necessarily to a Yachid who failed to do Haseba. Let's say, for example, that case that the Rambam discussed, the Mishnah Malach, the Ran, of an ear which is Safek Mukav Chom. Good? Let's assume, for example, we were to Paskin Lakula. Would that be Mekra HaMitzvah Lagamre? Wouldn't be Mekra Nisa Lagamre. Right? In most of the world, they're reading on Yadalit. In some parts of the world, they're reading on Tezvav. Here, it's an individual suffix. It's not a suffix regarding the mitzvah in its broadest sense. There, you couldn't necessarily literally argue if the Chachamim were to paskin lekula mekra mitzvah legamre. That's certainly not true. Right? The entire world is reading the Megillah. It's just a question of a particular suffix for an individual or for one city. Maybe even then one could not apply the principle that the Ran writes. Again, the Ran literally writes, if you're going to deny his saber for Dalet Kosos, so therefore Mekra HaMitzvah Lagamre. Mashenkin in other cases where the suffix regards a Yachid, therefore we're not denying the mitzvah, we're not uprooting it entirely, we're just simply arguing that there's a suffix in a given circumstance. Maybe then, even according to the second day of the Ran, we wouldn't be forced to assume automatically that in such an instance, Safek is considered to be Lachunma. That's how the Beis Halevi points out in Chela Gimel in Simen Aleph. One additional Marimakom, an interesting Sugim Sachem, Adaf Gundalad Mabeis. Here the Gemara discusses Ben Hashmashos when it comes to Tainas Sibur, specifically when it comes to Ben Hashmashos during Tisha B'Av. Is Ben Hashmashos included in the Yom? Is that considered to be part of the day of Tisha B'Av, whether it's Aser? Do we assume that that is not true? What is the halacha of Ben Hashmashos during the Tainus of Tisha B'Av and in Tainus Sibur? Of course, when it comes to Ben Hashmashos, let's say, Yom HaKippurim, it's an Isra Achila D'Araisa with a Chiyuv Karis. Of course, we're going to assume the Chumrah. But what do you assume when it comes to Ben Hashmashos that's assumed during the time of Tisha B'Av? So there the Gemara mentions the possibility that maybe even on Tisha B'Av as well, Safek should be L'chumra. The Menachas Sinach discusses this in two places, in Mitzvah Shin Aleph and also in Mitzvah Shin Yud Gimel. Why that should be? Why should you assume when it comes to Tisha B'Av, unlike other Taneisim, Shiva Sibetamos, and some Gedalia and so on, that we should assume that Me'ikar Hadin, Ben Hashmashos, should indeed be included in the Tainus, or should it not? So perhaps even this issue could touch on the Chiddush that the Ran is raising. When you have a normal Tainus that does not include the Laila, begins Bayom, so therefore, when you're defining the Zman HaTainus, it only involves a single Ben Hashmashos. No? The only relevant Ben Hashmashos is B'Sof HaYom. When does Shivasa B'Tamas, when does Tzon Gedalia, when does Asar B'Teves end? No? So inochinami, for that issue, perhaps one can assume suffek is lakula. When you have a tainus that begins balayla, perhaps you have the following difficulty. Now you have to contend with ben hashmashos on both ends. No? Tchilas hazman with the sof hazman. You have a double ben hashmashos that you have to contend with. No? So even if you assume that Tisha B'Av is not the Divrei Kabbalah, Tisha B'Av is the tiniest Rabbanon. That's the Minchas Chinuch discusses. What exactly is the status of Tisha B'Av? And are there different times in history where perhaps one could argue a B'Shas HaShma Tisha B'Av can be Divrei Kabbalah, and other times Tisha B'Av is only Rabbanon? But even aside from that issue, Tisha B'Av you have to contend with Ben HaShmashos B'Tchilas Hayom and B'Sof Hayom, no? So if that's true, maybe again one could invoke this possibility. So what does it mean to say Safek is Lakula? We'll be Mekel and Ben HaShmashos. So what does that mean? What does it mean to be Mekel and Ben HaShmashos? No? So we're just going to decide that Ben HaShmashos is always Yom or always Laila? No, what does it mean Lakula? Whatever suits us will be Lakula. That Lachorah then is the difficulty of the Tarta Disaster, no? What are you going to assume? That Tisha B'Av begins late because B'Tchila Seyam we're going to argue that Ben HaShmashos is Yom? And then you're going to argue that Tisha B'Av ends early because the same Ben HaShmashos now is Laila. Maybe that's exactly the Tarta Disaster of Safek Lakula. Now, how can you argue Ba'oso Hayom that Ben HaShmashos is day when it's convenient at night when it's convenient? Maybe that's the Tarta Disaster of Safek Adran Lakula. Even though it's true you're dealing with different periods, but in terms of defining the Chaloshem Yom, when the Yom begins, when the Yom ends, so what does it mean to say that Ben HaShmashos is Lakula? Lakula that we're going to argue, the Tarta Disasra, that B'tchilas Hazman, therefore Lakula it's Yom, B'sof Hazman it's already Laila. That's why one must assume when you have a double Ben HaShmashos. So therefore, then you must assume Lachumra even if you're dealing with that, which is a Safek Derabanan. It's an interesting Chiddush, but the Gemara again debates this issue. In Psachim Daf Nadalid, what is the status of Ben HaShmashos when it comes to Tisha B'Av? We started to discuss the Chiddush of Tosfos, and that's Sugya Daf Yedal Amud Aleph, where Tosfos comments that when the Gemara contrasts Tavlin and Melech, the Gemara has two different possibilities. When it comes to the case of Melech, for example, that's something which is Eina Mafiga Tama Klal. The taste of the Melech is not impaired at all if it's done Mibod Yom. And then the Gemara deals with cases of Tavlin, where Mafiga Tama. Tosfos points out that there certainly is a third category as well, which is even above and beyond Mefiga Tam, and that is Miskalklin Beyoser. Certain things, if they are prepared mi ba'od yom, you'll grind it on Erev Yantiv. It's not just a question of potency, whether it's as strong as it was before, but much more than that. Here Tosa says Miskalklin Beyoser. And therefore, in such a case, Tosa's comments, then no shinui is necessary. That can be done on Yantif itself, Beli Shinui, because after all, that's Mamish Yav Shemi Bod Yom, because the object is going to be ruined or significantly impaired, right, as a result of that lapse of time. That's an important Chiddush, that even though the Gemara spells out the two possibilities, yeah, that's in reflecting the difference between Melech as opposed to Tavlin. But if you're dealing with a case where it's above and beyond Tavlin, Miskal can be Yoser, so therefore in such an instance, that can be done on Yantif, and that does not require a Shinoi at all. Right? This is what we assume in Achuz Yantif and Tavkuf David, that if it's something which is Miskal can be Yoser, in such an instance, there Tchina can be done on Yantif even without Shinoi. That's Mamish Melech HaSocha Nefesh, which is Yefshem Ibod Yom. Mishabur gives you in Sivkot Nir Aleph examples of that, cases of Shum, or Bitsalim, Shechalayim, cases of potatoes, bananas, apples, onions, regular vegetables. Now, Mishnah Berurah writes in Sivkot Yotes that simply chituch yirakos, cutting up normal salad vegetables, if you're going to do it a day in advance, it's not just simply mifiga tama. So in that instance, the Sharetzion writes, Nos lamed vav, mifigim taim meharbe. In such a case, that's what Tosfos writes, that no shinui is necessary in those cases. That's mamish yefshir mibad yom. The case that the Mechaber quotes in the very beginning of Tavkuf Dalet, that's the Sugya Daf Yudalet, that's the case of Tavlin. In Tavlin, it's not Miskalklin Beyoser, but rather Mefiga Tama. And that's where we assume that that should be done. Ayide Shinoi. Mishnah Berurah writes in Sivkot Yotes, the example of Chrein is another case, where it's not Miskalklin Beyoser, but certainly it loses its potency if it is not freshly ground. The Mishaburin Siv Katan Tes discusses coffee, for example. Tavlin, coffee, chrein, those instances, we're dealing with general spices. In that instance, that's the case, which is tavlin as the Mishnah and the Gemara present. In that instance, that, if it is done anyantif or machmer, that requires a shinui. And then you have instances like melach. There the Shulchan Aruch adds to list as well egozim, if nuts are crushed, right, before yantif. That is something which is enam mifigan tama. Right, it's very common to have shelled nuts that are already opened and ground, and it's enam figatama, comparable with what the Gemara mentions regarding melach. And in such an instance, there, lechatchila, one must engage in tchina mibod yom kodom yantif. It's only bidi'eved that one can rely on shinui. In other words, in category 2, mefigatama, then lechatchila, one is allowed to do it on yantif ayidei shinui. That's category 2. Category 3, where it's enema figum tama, so in such a case, then lechatchila should be done mibod yom. If it cannot be done mibod yom, it was not done mibod yom, so then only bidyeved, that can be done al yedei shinui. The Ramah just adds the following. The Ramah, that same simon in Tav Kuv Dalet in Siv Gimel, that if you're dealing with that which is not gedulei karka, right, for example, beitzim or basar, dagim, gvina, in this respect, we treat, right, animals as non-gudalei karka, comparable to dogim. So then we assume, like the Chumas Hadeshin against the Iraim, that tchina also is limited to gudalei karka. And therefore, the Rama writes that those cases, those are mutter, b'li shinoi, because tochin is limited to cases of gudalei karka. The Gemara does mention, right, in Beitz and Daf Yudad Amud Aleph, that there are certain kelim which are miyuchad for the purpose of tochen that should not be used on yantif. We'll have to see exactly why that's true. Right? Tochen using a kli which is miyuchad for tchina, but that should not be used on yantif. And here, the Shulchan Aruch and the later poskim discuss the details at length. Shem Shabbos Kalchasa has, right, in Perek Zayin and Simen Zayin, right, discussions of various types of appliances that are used. If, for example, one has a grater normally, right, is labeled as true a kli for the purpose of tochen, but that's short-term tochen. That's the type of tochen that a person would mean for more immediate use. And therefore, that is not considered to be the type of grinder that the Gemara writes in Beitz and Daf Yudalit that one should not use, right, on yantif. So a grater, for example, is considered to be the type of kli which is usually used for short-term preparation, and therefore one is allowed to do so. Whether one must employ a shinui or not, that depends on earlier discussion, right? What are you dealing with? If you're dealing with something which is miskalklin v'yoseh, in such a case, so the grater can be used on yantiv, even b'li shinui. If you're dealing with category 2, where it's just mefiga tama, but it doesn't meet the requirements of one miskalklin biyoseh, so in such an instance, then a shinui is in fact necessary. But that type of grater we would in fact allow, right? Whether you have to employ a shinui would depend again whether it's similar to tavlin or whether it's similar to cases where it's miskalklin biyoseh. Tosus' distinction. If, however, one is dealing with a mill, right, or a commercial grinder, that is considered to be a kli which is miyuchad for the purpose of long-term tochein, and that is categorically forbidden. Where the Shemir Shabbos discusses the following detail is, what about a household grinder? What status does that have? And there at the very end, right, of the Perek on tochein, Shemir Shabbos writes the following, quotes more extensive Mar Makomos, that that type of household grinder should not be used on yantif at all. The Derech HaRetzui, he writes, is only to use that mibol yom, not to use that on yantif at all. The most is if you're dealing with basar v'dagim, you're dealing with something which is not gedulei karka, and you employ a shinui, that's a possibility that the Shemir Shabbos mentions. If it is not gedulei karka, and it's done ayidei shinui, maybe in such a case the possibility of using, right, a household grinder, right, anyantiv. But we normally assume that a household grinder is not used. That's something that normally when people grind, they do so for long-term use, and therefore that's a kli which is miyuchad for the purpose of tochen, that the Gemara writes, and daf yudal and beitz is forbidden. However, a grater which is short-term use is not considered to be a kli which is miyuchad for tochen, and in such an instance, as long as you meet the requirements of tosus, the miskalkan bioser as opposed to mefik tama, that in fact could be used. There's another important chiddush lahalacha that the Rambam writes, mistaber, but not found explicitly in the Gemara. The Rambam is in Hilchos Shabbos and Perek Chaf Aleph, halacha Yud Gimel, where the Rambam writes, what happens if the grinding or mashing process has begun before Shabbos? Are you allowed to continue and to complete the process on Shabbos? So the Rambam writes the following. Let's assume you have shum, v'habosar, v'hamlilos, shariskan mi ba'odyom. So the grinding or the mashing began on Erev Shabbos. However, the Rambam writes, imu chusarim dicha, if still more pounding is necessary, it is not already considered to be fully ground as is. The Rambam writes, asala ligmar dichasan b'shabbos. So then on Shabbos, you're not allowed to continue that process. However, the Rambam writes, imu chusarim shchika biyad, if the pounding, the grinding or pounding process has essentially been completed, all that lacks is the further shchika biyad, the Rambam writes, then mutter lo ligmar shchitasim b'Shabbos, that one is allowed to go ahead and simply to complete that on Shabbos. And the Rambam gives you the following example. If you have shchikas harifos, if a person has been grinding pounded grain, that's the Rambam's example. So normally what you would do is you would mix all of that together, you would cook it, it's a tavshil that has in it basar and different types of grains, and it's already basically ground and mashed already before, and it's placed on the oven before Shabbos. That's the Rambam's description. Then the Rambam writes, after you take it off of the fire, when it's already broken down, it's common to take, the Rambam writes, an eitz haporer, to take a wooden spoon, right, and to continue mixing it together, and that will complete the grinding process. So the Rambam writes the following chiddush, that achar shmiru somayal ha'esh, once you take it off of the fire, one can engage in bechisha, stirring with this eitz haporer, this wooden spoon, because already there it's already considered to be ground and processed from before. That's the chiddush that the Rambam writes. So if, for example, the grinding process has only begun, it's mechusar in dicha, then the Rambam writes, you cannot continue and do that on Shabbos. If, however, it is already essentially ground and cooked, the Rambam writes, so in such an instance, then one is allowed simply to continue even on Shabbos itself. That's the chiddush that the Rambam writes. That if, for example, you have something which is cooked, and the cooking process, right, already breaks down the ochel, so therefore, mixing it together, the eitz haporer, that is not considered to be a problem of tochein at all. So, for example, if you have vegetables or you have peros, sheniz bashlu v'nisrachachu, it was already cooked mibod yom and they've been broken down mibod yom, so there's no longer any iser of tochein, because it's considered al-pidin to be nitchan already mi ba'od yom. The lashon that the Chaznish uses, based on this Rambam, this Chaznish is found in Simen and Ches, in Sivka Kintes, where the Chaznish writes that bishulo, the process of its cooking itself, mafgiyoso mimaleches tchina, that already uproots it from the possibility of tochein. Why? Because, after all, the tochein is so easily done. The cooking process has already broken it down, and now the particles will simply just fall apart. So therefore, ein shein malachalav, that is not considered to be a case of tochein. When the Shmir Shabbos quotes the Skiddush of the Rambam, it's found in Perek Vav in Harach of Aleph, it just quotes the Arav from Shlomo Zalman, that you have to make sure that kvar nismachu, the ena mechusarn ela shchicha moetes. You have to make sure that that's true, that through the cooking process, it already is crushed, and therefore, all that it lacks is that final type of stirring, in such an instance, and that is not considered to be tochein. So therefore, Shmir Shabbos writes in Perek Vav, in the Sim Perek of Tochein, in Simen Yud, that, for example, when it comes to potatoes, if nisbashlu v'nisrachachu hetev, If already it was all cooked and mashed previously, so now one continue using, for example, a fork, not using a kli, which is miyuchad for the purpose, right, of tochen, and one would be allowed to do that even on Shabbos. What you're not allowed to do on Shabbos is something, as the Rambam writes, which is mechusar in dicha. But short of that, that in fact would be permitted. So for example, if you have, right, jams, for example, right, which are already processed and broken down, there's nothing wrong with spreading it, even if in the spreading process one is thinning it out and so on. So in such an instance, that is not considered to be a problem of tochen. That's the context of that chazanish that we mentioned earlier, right, in Simenon Ches, in Siv Tes, where the chazanish points out that this is true of mashing those types of perils that the Rambam describes, something that was already broken down as a result of the bishul process. But if that was not true, if you are mashing something like an avocado or like a banana, the chazanish writes, where it's risuk peiros, where it was not already broken down, so that the chazanish assumes that that is considered to be a problem of tochein, because now it is still in its natural state. It's not comparable to the Rambam writes as something that was already broken down. Here it's in its natural state, a banana and avocado, and therefore risuk certainly is asr mishum tochein. And that was the chumrah we pointed out, the chazanish going a step further, and that even though when it comes to tochein, the Rashba writes that there is a heter of la'alta, that's because that's called the derech achila. But risuk peros, which were not subject to bishul and were broken down, in such an instance, number one, that is considered to be tochein, and number two, right, there is no heter of la'alta, and that was exactly that case in the Tosefta, that risuk charuvim was considered to be aser, even if it was done in fact la'alter. As we pointed out, that was right against what the Gros Moshe writes, that in such a case, when you're dealing, for example, something like a banana where there are no breakdown of particles at all, that cannot be equated with the case that you find in the Tosefta. That's the chiddush that the Rambam writes. If it's already broken down through the cooking process, in such an instance, then it's not subject to tochein, even in instances where otherwise we would argue that that in fact is. The Chazanish has a few more important ha'aras as well when it comes to la'alta. We mentioned again the machlokas rishonim, that chiddush in Tshuvas HaRashba, the Tshuvas HaRashba in Dalet Ayin Bay, that just as when it comes to Borer, there's a heter of la'alta, the same thing is true when it comes to Tochein, and this is what the Ramah quotes in Shin Chaf Aleph and Sif Yud Beis, that if you're dealing with a case that ochel, that one is going to eat miyad, that is considered to be mutter, and the Rama is explicit that midi dehavi abor lecho miyad, just as bore, there's heter v'alta, the same thing is true when it comes to cases of tochein as well. The Mishnah Berurah, however, in Sif Katan Memhei, just writes the following, that even though this is true, this is the sheet of the Rashba, the tochein is mutter la'alta, the Beis Yosef already points out, as we saw, that not everyone agrees with this chiddush of the Rashba. The Chazanish points out in Simen Nun Zayin, in Devar Maskel Ubikar, that many of the Rishonim raise kashas comparable to the Rashba, and they don't just simply answer that tochin is mutal alter. Right? That smug, for example, that we saw in the Ran. How is it mutter lefarer halechem lifnei atarnagolim? Right, so not the heter of la'alter, but the chiddush the smag writes that's because you're dealing with lechem in tochin achar tochin. So the chazanish lists rishonim, the Rashbam and the smag, the Mordechai, the Shimon Sadeshen, that do not seem to assume that there is indeed a heter of la'alter when it comes to tochin. That was in fact the kash we saw in Shilti HaGiborim. Borer is true by definition. The malach is bor la'alter. Bor la'alter and la'alter is mutter. But where do you see that should apply when it comes to tochin? And therefore, the Mishnah Berurah already suggests in Sivkot Memhei, based on the Beis Yosef, that Yizoher Lafto Chatichos Gedolos Ktsas. One should only engage in Tochein with the twofold approach. Number one is La'alter, coverage of the Rashba, but number two, right, what Tosos pointed out, and that's Sugya Kinivas Yarek and of Kuf Yudal Mabeis, that if you're dealing with Chatichos Gedolos Ktsas, that's not considered to be Tochein at all. So the Mishnah Berurah again advises both as being necessary, chatichos gedolos, But since already pointed out the Rishonim Ramoran, that it's hard to determine what is considered to be that which is large, that which is small. In fact, we pointed out from the cases of Bikwa Eitzim, that Mochamos, in the very beginning of the third parak of Beitza, that it may depend on the normal derech of each chefetz. What is large for chefetz A may not be large for chefetz B. Because it's hard to envision that Bikwa Eitzim has to be particles that are dak-dak. Otherwise, you wouldn't be chayiv. That's not the normal way that a person would engage in chopping wood. So in such a case, it's hard to discern what is considered to be chatichos dakos ma'odas, Tosa says, as opposed to chatichos gedolos k'tzas, and therefore to couple both, to see to it that are larger than usual, gedolos k'tzas, and also to see to it that one indeed does so la'alter. Here the Chaznish points out the following chiddush. The Chaznish is found again in Siman and Zayin, here in Deramaskal Aval. That is only if it is fully fit to be eaten, b'li pirur. If it can be eaten as is, then we can assume that that really is true. However, if, for example, it cannot be used as is, for example, that case, the Tosefta lifnei hazakenim. Why does the Tosefta mention the lifnei hazakenim? Because apparently it was difficult for the zakenim to eat it as is, and therefore it was necessary that it be broken down. So in such a case, that is considered to be tochen even la'alter. That's the chumer that the Chazanish writes. But medvramum, that there's a heter of la'alter. That's if, again, all you're doing is dividing it into smaller pieces, but in principle it could be used as is. But if enam yachom lochla bli pirur, if it could not be eaten without breaking it down, so therefore, shame tochen aleihem, even if it's considered to be la'alter, and that is considered to be aser. So number one, the question about the reliance of the Rashba in general of la'alter, the chiddush of the Beis Yosef, that no yishev kapul chatichos gedolos. Number two, that ha'ara based on Tosefta, the Tosefta says lifnei hazakenim, that is aser, meaning that if it can't be easily eaten as is, and requires chituch, in such a case, then there's no heter of la'alter. And then, right, that's the Chazanish's further comment that we mentioned, risuk. If you're talking about mashing, which is kemaisa ha'tchina mamish, which is actual grinding, that's not considered hiderech achil at all. And there as well, there's no heter of la'alter. These are certain limitations within the heter of la'alter. The reliance on the Rashba itself, if the tochein readies it la'achila, and if we're not talking about chatichos, katanos, or gdolos, but rather risuk, but the Chaznish writes that that certainly is considered to be aser with no heter of la'alter as well. A further ha'ar, we had mentioned that that Gemara Beitz and Daf Yudalid mentions that even though tochin at times is mutter, if you have a kli which is miyuchad for tchina, in such a case that is considered to be aser. When we speak about the iser of tochin, which are kli miyuchad l'tchina, what type of iser is that? Is that an Issa d'Araisa? Is that an Issa d'Rabbanon? And here, we already saw a couple of possibilities. One possibility is the following. Let's assume you're dealing with something that is normally included in the Melach of Tochein, real Gedolei Karka. So here, the Mishabura comments in the Bir Halacha in Shin Chaf Aleph, in Sif Yud Beis, the Ramaschal Midei, that in that instance, using a kli hamiyuchad l'tchina, that's an issa d'araisa. That's not just simply an uvda d'chol. That's an issa d'araisa comparable to a case of borer. Borer biyad would be mutter, but borer b'kli is chayiv min ha'torah. The same thing applies when it comes to tochin. Even if the tochin would be mutter, that's just like the Rashba, mutter la'otah. But if one uses a kli to do so, that's considered to be kiborer b'kli, that's certainly not considered to be derech achila, and that is chayiv. When do we assume that the use of a kli is forbidden midrabbana because of uvda d'chol? That's what you find Shulchan Aruch in Shin Chaf Aleph in Sif Yud. That's very different. That's when you're dealing with something which is not gedulei karka. If you assume as a Chumash Adeshin that ain tochen elam gedulei karka, so now you're dealing with something like beitzim or bosar or dogim which are not gedulei karka at all. They're not included in tochen. Then what are you going to argue? Using a kli miyuchad l'tchina is nisa d'araisa? Nisa d'araisa of what? Ein tchina ela bedulei karka. That's when the Shulchan Aruch writes explicitly that a kli miyuchad for tchina is uvda d'chol. But that's the context. The context is the cheftza which is not included in tchina. Eino gedulei karka. But that's the ha'ara of the bir halach when you're dealing with real gedulei karka. But the heter is based on something else, for example, the altar, then using a kli as an issa daraisa. Just like borer b'kli is not uvda d'chol, borer b'kli is an issa daraisa. What about anyat? We mentioned that sugya in Beitz and Daf Yudalim and Aleph. The tochein at times is mutter anyante, but one cannot use a commercial grinder, a kli which is miuchad for the purpose of tchina. What is that? Is that an uvda d'chol issue? Or is that more than that? And here you have 2 days in the Rashba. The Rashba, that sugyan Beitz and Daf Yudad Amar Aleph, writes it's an uvda d'chol. The Magen Mishnah quotes this Rashba in Hilchos Yantif in Perek Gimel, Halacha Yud Beis. The tochin is Meleches Ochon Nefesh. And midaraisa, that would even be Meleches Ochon Nefesh if it's b'kli. Any isser is just because of Uvda D'chol. You're using a commercial appliance. It resembles the long-term massive tchina. And therefore, it's Ashtem Yishim Uvda D'chol. That's what the Mechaber writes in Hilchos Yamtif in Tavkuf Dalim, in the very beginning of the Siman, in Sif Aleph. The Mechaber writes, "V'lo esachardo bereichayim shalahem." That is not allowed to grind mustard seeds using the normal reichayim, the normal mill. Mishum dahavi ku'uvdin d'chol. It's an uvdin d'chol problem. After all, mikar hadin, we're assuming the tochin is called malachas ochon nefesh, not long-term tochin, short-term tochin. But if you're going to use that type of appliance, it's an uvdin d'chol. We mentioned, however, that sugi in Shabbos, Nafkuf Melamav, where we discussed the Machlokas Rishonim, Tosos quotes Rabbi Nachananel, the Shiltos. Is that referring to Yantif? Is that referring to Shabbos? If you look there in Chedushei Rashba, the Chedushei Rashba Shabbos, Kuf Melamav, writes that on Yantif, Tochein with a Kli HaMiyuchad Lekach, Miyuchad Letchina, that is tochein. That's not just simply uvda d'chol. That's nisa daraisa. As he pointed out, tochein, that Ramban, the Mochamas Nafir Gimel Beis, is that mishas lisha veilech? Or is that kodem lisha? The answer was, it depends. What type of tchina are you talking about? Sometimes tochein is kodem lisha, and the Siddur de Pas is listed kodem lisha. And sometimes, that's not true, tochein would be called mleches ha-siddur, mleches ha-volda. The Rashba suggests the following chiddush, that using a kli miyuchad l'tchina, meaning the commercial type of tochein, right, the mill, the commercial grinder, right, that's tochein daraisa, even on yantif. These are 2 days in the Rashba. Right, the bir halacha and tavkuv dalid and hilchos yantif, der maskel ve'ein, quotes these 2 days in the Rashba. That the Rashba and Beitz and Daf Yudalid deals with the kli just in terms of uvda d'chol, because tochein is meleches ochon nefesh. So the most it will be as a problem to Rabbanan. Bir Halacha writes that the Rashba and the Sugin Shabbos Kuf Melav deals with on a level of daraisa. As he pointed out, both models certainly exist. Right? When it comes to Shabbos, a kli miyuchad l'kach is forbidden mi daraisa. When it comes to Shabbos, you're dealing with something which is not kli karka, it's an uvda d'chol problem. But the critical issue today is an ashbas. What about tochein an yantif, which a kli hamiyuchad l'tchina? Is that just uvda d'chol, or is that considered to be the melacha daraisa of tochein? Rav Moshe writes a further chiddush, that's in that same place that we mentioned in Chelat Dalid, in Siman Ayin Dalid, right? In discussing tochein, it's an oz dalid. Let's assume that you have an appliance which is miyuchad l'chitach prusos. It's a slicer. So Rav Moshe writes that just a slicer is not considered to be a kli which is miyuchad l'tochei, right? Nor is it even considered to be something which is included in uvda d'chol. Shmir Shabbos Kolchasam Perek Vav in Ha'ar Yud Beis mentions this chiddush nemar for Shlomo Zalman in discussing an egg slicer. After all, first all it does is slice, right? And an egg is something that is not included in Tochin, it's in a B'dulei Karka. So therefore, how can you argue that's a kli which is miyuchad for the purpose of Tochin? It's made for slicing eggs, and therefore it is not something which is a kli which is miyuchad for Tochin at all. And the Shmir Shabbos writes, in the Rebbe Shlomo Zalman, ve'efshar d'mutter gam l'chitoch agvanian, maybe it would be mutter even to cut b'dulei Karka as well. After all, using it to slice eggs certainly would be permitted. Eggs are not considered to be b'dulei Karka. So how can you argue this is a kli of tochein when that's not true? And maybe one could argue that even using it to slice that which is b'dulei Karka, that would not be considered a dinok kli, because the kli, right, is one which is made for chituch habeitzim, which is not considered to be g'dulei karka at all. We had mentioned when we did the Rashi and Daf Ayin Dalam Abayz, when the Gemara lists, right, the various cases that one is chayiv. Chayiv cases of multiple chatos, the cases of chavita, the case of tanura. So Rashi writes that one of the malachos that you violate is that of tochein, right? Because l'rasek rigvei ha'afar, take a clod of dirt and to break it down, right? That Rashi writes is a problem of tochein. We even alluded yesterday to that sugyan beitz and of chesam beitz when it comes to kisi hadam. Are you allowed to take a clump of dirt and to break it down for the purpose of kisi hadam? The Gemara says certainly not. And that's not considered to be mlechasach nefesh that one would allow in any shape or form. And the mitzvah of kisagam can't be doche. Isra mleches yantif, it's not bidna. And enesi dochalosa, save essay. The Gemara says that's called kotesh. Rashi hirais, that breaking down clumps of dirt is considered to be, right, a tochein problem. So this is again what we assume in Shulchan Aruch and Simon Shin Beis, that if for whatever a person has tit or boots, a person has mud, right? Even mud which is gathered on one's clothing. So scraping it off, right, is a problem of tochein. And tochein applies even to, right, dirt and to mud as well. When we first began this, you pointed out the chiddush that even if in other areas lahalacha that is not considered to be gedulei karka, that's karka mamish, yeah, it's not dumya de psolas gorn v'yekav v'nochasukah. But in terms of Hilchos Shabbos, is considered to be g'dulei karka, and therefore one in fact is considered to be chayiv. The kash Rabbi Kiveger had, that was that chiddush, is why not assume ein tochein achar tochein? Because the mud is not considered to be, right, a natural unit, always, no? Maybe that's considered to be something which is osi b'di adam, and therefore argue ein tochein achar tochein. But that is the Psak Aloch and Simon Shin Beis, that in that instance, right, that is considered to be asur, to break down ragvei ha'afar. The Mishnah Berurah just mentions just the following additional factor. Let's assume a person does have, right, a blotch of mud on his clothing. Could that ever be tochin daraisa? Even if you assume here in our Gemara that is, right, Rashi's case, the case of chavita, the case of tanura, yeah, that's where you need the granules of dirt. It's needed to go ahead and to form the chavis, to form the tanur. If a person just simply has mud in a garment and he scrapes it off, Mishnah Berurah writes that certainly is a malach hashinu tzrich lagufa. Right? After all, the little particles that he's breaking down are not going to be used in any shape or form. Not being done, the requirement of the re for the purpose as was needed in the Mishkan. So in such an instance, Mishnah Berurah comments, even though in principle it's true that that type of object is included in tochein, it has to be the type of case like chavis and tanur where it's needed. If it's not needed, it's only a malacha shino tzrich lagufa. Let's assume, for example, it's b'makom kavod habrios. Right, so a person looks filthy, right? Would kavod habrios allow one to be docha malacha shino tzrich lagufa? Because the Gemara does write in Brachos, Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis, that Kavod HaBrios at times is Doch Yisurei Derabanan. So here the Mishnah Berurah writes the following, that Kavod HaBrios will not be Doch Amlav Shein Tzrich LeGufa, but if it's a Shvus to Shvus, Amlav Shein Tzrich LeGufa Ayyadei Nachri, that will be Mutter B'makom Kavod HaBrios. That's what the Shar HaTzion writes in Sivkot and Mem Dalet. So if a person, right, is muddied, right, the shoe is all muddy, the garment is muddy, right, and it's considered to be a breach of Kavod HaBrios, some Shemurah suggests a shvus to shvus. The tochin here is a malach shinat tzrich l'gufa, ayyadei nachri is further reduced, and shvus to shvus, makam Kavod HaBrios, that in fact would be mutter. Just a few further ha'aros regarding, right, borer anyantiv. I mentioned to you before, we'll wait till we finish the Sugya Tochein, right, that Sugya Beitz and Daf Yudalet. Borer, we pointed out, right, the Ramban writes, is already considered to be Melechas Ochon Nefesh. And therefore, Midaraisa, Borer is Mutter. We pointed out the Chiddush of the Rashba, right, Nevodas HaKodesh, that no, Borer is only Mutter, right, Anyantif La'altar. Because even on Shabbos, Borer is mutter la'altar psalos mitoch ochel. But Rov Roshona maintain that Borer is considered to be meleches ochel nefesh, and on that basis, that's the sheet of Beis Hillel and the Mishnah and Daf Yud Dal and Beis that Anyantif, indeed Borer kadarko. It's clear from that Mishnah, however, right, and this is what's found in Shulchan Aruch and Tav Kuvav, that certain forms are aser. After all, the Mishnah tells us using a nafu kvara, that's considered to be aser. So that's what the Mechaber writes, that Eim Anafim Kemach B'Yantiv, that one is not allowed to sift flour on Yantiv. That is not considered to be Melechas Ochel Nefesh, which is Mutter in the time of Yantiv itself. But if you're dealing with household Borer, right, Shnimene Ochel, separating it out as you would do Letzarech Hasuda, so that is allowed on Yantiv. And therefore the Mishnah says, according to Beis Hillel, that borer kedarko, that one could do that anyantiv as you would do b'chol, as long as you do not use enough ukvara, as if so when it comes to tochein, a kli which is miyuchad the borer, that is considered to be aser. The Gemara explains the details of the sheet of Beis Hillel. Right? That if in fact this is considered to be mutter because it's called meleches ochel nefesh, the determining factor should be, right, efficiency, whatever is the least amount of tircha. So therefore the Gemara explains as follows. If it's a case of ochel merubal hapsoles, the most efficient manner of separating is to take the psoles. And therefore that's what Beis Hillel recommends. Ochel merubal hapsoles, borer hapsoles. That was the Dara of Rabbi Kivega that we saw in the Mishnayos. Why isn't that a problem of tiltol muktzah? Because sometimes psoles is real psoles. The answer is, you're right, it is tiltol muktzah. But tiltol muktzah is mutter, that's Tzarech Ochel Nefesh. That was the Chiddush of Tosfos and Beitzin of Chesem and Aleph. Rabbi Kivega writes, you see it from the Mishnah. Ochel merubal hapsoles, borer kedarko. Borer kedarko means to take the psoles. If it's a case where it's psoles merubal ochel, so in such a case, the normal derech brei would be to take the ochel. Right? So that's what you should do. That's the most efficient way of separating. The Gemara does mention just the third case. Let's assume, for example, that you're dealing with a case where the miut is the ochel. However, there's a greater tircha involved in removal of the ochel. The Gemara mentions that case as well. We're dealing with a case where it's psolos, which is merubal ochel. But let's assume the psolos are smaller particles. They're dakim yosef. And it's harder to access the ochel. It's easier to take the psolos. So if it's easier to take the psolos, then take the psolos. That's all part of borer kedarko. Borer kedarko, based on the Mishnah Yantif, means whatever is most efficient. Normally, what is most efficient is take the miut. If, however, the miut are small particles and it's hard to access, then take the rov. That's what the Gemara says about Baranyantiv. However, in Taft Sarihei, here the Mishnah Berurah just adds, right, the following. In Taft Sarihei and Sivkot and Vav, and also this is the Bir Halacha in Taft Kuf Yud, at the end of Dermaskal Imratza. We discuss the Machlokas Rishonim. Even if something is called Melechas Olcho Nefesh, but what happens if it's Efshem Yibod Yom? So Rashi Shita we saw Chav Gimel Beis is that even if it's Mamish Melechas Olcho Nefesh, if it's Efshem Yibod Yom, one is not allowed to do so on Yantiv. So that's the Chiddush that the Mishnah Berurah writes. In many, many cases of Borer, that was Efshem Yibod Yom. In which case, one should meet the requirements of Shabbos. Even though technically speaking, Borer is considered to be Melechas Olcho Nefesh, and therefore Borer Kedarko, and the three different manifestations of Borer Kedarko that the Gemara writes, right, one principle, efficiency. But the Mishnah Berurah just adds the following caveat, very important, there should be a marked difference between Efshem and Efshem Yibod Yom. If it was Efshem Yibod Yom, so Rashi writes that that's forbidden midaraisa. So therefore, for such an instance where it was Efshem Yibod Yom, Mishnah Berurah writes one should meet the requirements of Shabbos, of Ocho Mitoch Tzolas, and La'alter and only Biyad. If it's Efshem Yibod Yom, so then you have that marked difference between Borah and Shabbos as opposed to Borah and Yantiv. So if you're dealing with a form of separation that could have been done before, treat Yantif like Shabbos. If you're dealing with something which is Yevshem Yibod Yom, then that Borer is considered to be Melechas Olcho Nefesh, which is allowed. So, for example, let's assume someone is preparing a dish on Yantif. One is preparing noodles on Yantif. Now, that's something where we assume it's Yevshem Yibod Yom. Right, you're going to prepare it before Yantif. Won't be as fresh, cold. So in such an instance, one is allowed to go ahead and to engage in the regular Borer of Kedarko, even a Yantiv. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah writes there in Taf Kuf Yud, in Sivkot and Yud Beis, and also in the Bir Halacha, Diramaskal Ein, that in such an instance one could even use a strainer, for example, to strain the noodles. That's considered to be part of Borer Kedarko. We don't treat the strainer as a kli which is miyuchad for the purpose of Borer and Yantiv. Because Borer is Melechas Olcho Nefesh. The type of kli that you're not allowed to use is the Nafu Kfara. What is special about Nafu Kfara? That's what the Mishnah Berurah writes. That's a type of kli which is miyuchad for long-term Borer. Normally when you're sifting longer term simply than what is immediately needed. But if you have something which is like a strainer, right, where the strainer normally is used for short-term borer, which is Melechas Olcho Nefesh. So therefore, if it's Efshem Yibod Yom, don't use that, treat that as Shabbos. But if it's Efshem Yibod Yom, even using a strainer, that would be allowed as well. Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa writes in Perek Dalit in Ha'ara Chav Zayin, the Rebbe Shlomo Zalman, the same thing would be true when it comes for a peeler. A peeler normally is used, right, for more immediate use. You would not call a peeler a kli which is miyuchad liyamim harbe. It's not comparable to nafu kfara. Comparable to what the Mishnah Berurah writes regarding a strainer. And therefore, in such an instance, right, one would be allowed to peel, for example, potatoes on yantif using even a peeler. Because the peeling of the food is considered to be that which is, right, normally allowed on Yantiv. And the kli, therefore, which is done, right, for that short-term form of separating the peel from the ochel, is not considered to be a kli which is milchad for borer, comparable to the case of nafu kfara. It's always derech lasos, lefisha. That type of kli is allowed. Shmir Shabbos writes the same would be true when it comes to a tea bag, for example. Even if a tea bag is considered to be a kli, and its purpose is to be able to separate, right, the scents from the tea leaves, a tea bag also would be called something similar to a misanenes, similar to a peeler, where it's not long-term boder, like nafug farah, rather it's considered to be that which is lefisha, which is short-term. And in such an instance, right, that would be mutter as well. So that's the chumrah of the Mishnah Berurah, that even though there are many heterim, the Gemara writes, based on the principle that boder is considered to be meleches al chanefesh, that's talking about cases where it's yefshem ibod yom. In cases where it's efshem ibod yom, so in such a case, then on yontif one should treat, right, boder on yontif comparable to boder on Shabbos. Sunday shir we will do something else like we should do on Thursdays. I recognize some will or some not be here, so we'll do some. Probably we'll continue with our discussion of aspects of tefillah, tefillah zaris rishus. We started with that chiddush of Reb Chaim. We'll talk about some further aspects of the mitzvah of tefillah, and then Bezras Hashem on Monday we'll start the malacha of dash. Okay, so some of the issues that we've done so far, but take a look again. That sugya and daf ayin gimel beis, shada pisa ledikla, the tosis of mefarek. Right, the sugyan beitz and daf yud gimel mud beis. Right, kolef saorim. Right, take a look at the Mishnah and daf kufchav beis and Shabbos. Right, the cracking and breaking open nuts, and then take a look at the sugyan daf kufmem gimel beis. Right, the schitas peros, and schitas peros is considered mutter nasa. We have to define what exactly is different in these cases. What exactly is considered to be the malacha of Disha. So we'll start with those sugyas. That'll take us some time to go through. Okay.